June 8, 2020, it's the Wafra Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro Show, happy Monday. Started off with Miles Mode from John Coltrane. After that, we had Norfolk from Poor Luther Bones. What made me think of that title? You know, you can't copyright a title, but yeah, I lived in Norfolk, Virginia. Nor smoke, nor drink. I was born in Portsmouth, right next door.
Well, damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that's why I had you on the show. I wanted to enlighten you. People, you can hear my guests right there. Introduce yourself. They're out Chama, New Mexico. They're on a little trip right now.
Oh, my name's Garth Forsyth, and this is my son Alex Forsyth.
Hey, how are you?
Nice. And they're kind of on tour, even though most of us can't tour.
Yeah, just without the music.
That's right. But you don't. No journey's wasted. It's all investment in your next one.
Yeah.
Okay, and Brother Matt, not with me. We're still in quarantine mode here, so he's in the Love Grotto 3 miles south. They had to get outside their coche there, so you might hear some wind blowing, people. Who wants to go first?
Wait,
I'll go first, Garth.
Your first, well, let's put it this way. Whoa, a lot of noise there. Your earliest musical recollection, Garth.
Oh, driving around with my dad, listening to AM radio, singing with him. He's a good singer.
And where about?
Kansas. I was born in Kansas.
Which part?
I would be in a Winfield at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit outside of Wichita.
Sure, sure. Yeah, because like I've yet to play in the western part.
Right,
For me, Western Kansas is Wichita.
Yeah.
Right, because you're always playing either there, usually Lawrence, you know.
Yeah, I've been to Lawrence, yeah.
Right, the school town. And in fact, I've had a lot of great gigs there.
Oh,
there
cool.
used to be something, God, I can't remember. You know, maybe Wichita only once. It's almost always been Lawrence.
Right.
But anyway, KU, Wilt Chamberlain and everybody.
Yeah.
So the car radio, and everybody knows in the older days, the AM radio had all kinds of music.
Yeah, that was some good stuff. It was good tunes back then.
Okay, so there was probably no musical instruments in the automobile except probably your pop's voice, right?
Yeah, that's what I remember first.
But what about at the pad? Was there a piano or guitars or stuff like that?
No, we never had anything.
Did you have record collection?
A very tiny Columbia House one.
I remember those. Bailings. I had that. You send it a dime, they give you 10.
Yeah.
And then you got to either send them back. Stuff. You either got to send them back or you have to pay for them. Yeah. Okay. they come once a month or something, right?
Right.
You know, what I really found out about that is when I signed at Columbia, and I found out because it's part of the contract, they get to sell those things at really econo rate with your royalty.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what about at school?
No, nothing at school.
The choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was a basketball player.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like Will. Yeah. Well, let's get back to the home life. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
Well, damn. I'm trying to think.
See, what
probably
I'm trying 45. What I'm trying to 45 is okay. What I'm trying to find out is, you know, your foundations for your journey in music.
Right. Maybe, I don't know, Hughes Corporation or Stylistics or something like that.
I remember Hughes Corporation.
Wasn't that Rock the Boat?
Rock the Boat, absolutely. You know, it'd be part of those K-Tel collections too, right?
Right, those were good.
Yeah. Do you remember the first gig you went to?
Well, let me think. I saw the Ramones when I was 16.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
That was down in Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach, okay. Yeah. Oh, so that's why, with the Norfolk, so you spent some time in Virginia.
That's where I grew up. Yeah, from the time I was 6 or 7.
Well, when we were talking, it seemed like we were in Kansas.
I was there, and then I went to. They moved to.
Oh, okay, I understand.
1969.
So, what do you think was the main thing that wanted you to get involved with music?
Until later.
Yeah, it was much later. I was probably 20, 21, and I ran into a few guys that played the guitar, and I got them to teach me some stuff.
What was the first guitar you got?
I think I had a Yamaha acoustic.
Okay, an acoustic.
Yeah,
and yeah. Nylon string or metal?
Metal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, DeBooney played nylon string. I mean, he ended up playing all kinds of shit, but when I first met him. Yeah. So, was it the thing like, here, teach me this song off this record?
I just learned chords.
Oh, they showed you, like the cowboy chord, they opened stuff.
Yeah, I was, into that cowboy music and blues music and finger picking and stuff like that.
And when did you start writing your own songs?
Right away.
Wow. Okay, so you weren't into that thing about learning other. That's great. Mm-hmm. And so you just did this for fun with your friend. What about first time playing in front of people?
I played solo there for a little while when I started to be able to play some blues stuff. And then later on, I was probably like 27, and I was living out in the woods, and a guy, Dave Keller, came around and wanted to form the band, so I said I would do it.
And that's the first band you were ever in?
Yeah, same band as now.
You know, 27, that's interesting. That's when Joe Biza, the Sacred Trust guy, started playing guitar.
Wow.
He was an artist, right? Because of the punk movement, it seemed like everybody was just trying to play just because they wanted to. And so, yeah, 27 years old. And so what was this band called, Mark?
Same band, Poor Luther's Bones.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
So this is, you're still in the first band.
Yep. A lot of different characters evolved through.
Right.
Started playing with me when he was 13.
So was it already Poor Luther's Bones before you got in it?
No, I named the band. I just kept it up. Yeah.
Okay. And where's the name come from?
It's just an old, it's like an old folk story from up in Pennsylvania where there was this lot of iron ore furnaces where they smelled it iron, and this young feller who was a worker fell in love with the iron ore master's daughter, and the boss wasn't having that, and so he accidentally fell into the smelter, and they called him, they called it Poor Luther's Bones.
Yeah, criminy.
Yeah.
I always thought you were going to get, there's this rap about them bones, right? I think it has something to do with Ezekiel.
Right.
In fact, I don't know if you ever seen this trippy-ass show in the 60s that was made in England.
It was called
The Prisoner.
I don't know that one.
Only lasted one season, and it was about this secret agent who wanted to quit, and they wouldn't let him, and they put him in a village because he knew too much. And the last episode, they get into singing Dem Bones. Obviously, people got so pissed off, he had to move and come to SoCal because they didn't like the ending. But anyway, Dem Bones is the big tune in that last episode. I want to play here sampling our own product.
All right.
All right. We got our hands in the food of the harvest. We're solving out the Nazis to try it. A pinch off the top will be fine. We stand on a legal pilot. The numbers on the scale.
Thank you. thought, then the thought. Couldn't say what did it. Would be better to be you.
Show. Yeah, we heard a sampling our own product. Poor Luther's Bum. Reminds me of that one of the last poet guys took on this other persona as Lightning Rod. He made this whole little opera called Hustler's Convention.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, some guy named Spoons. And it's a trippy little story. And, you know, one of the... Yeah, morals of the story, I guess, is don't get high on your own supply. You know? After that, we got something from Wild Rats, which is a prod from like 23 years ago with Ron Ashton, Thurston, John Fleming, and Steve Shelley helped out on. And they've found stuff from those sessions and putting it out. Deerhoof's got a brand new album. We heard Zazie, A Strike Slip, new prod of John Jones from the Urinals, John Talley Jones, Terribly Tangled Up. Bilge Pump out of Leeds, England, with Today They Destroyed My House. Kay Salita from, that's Kay from Black Flag with Let It Go. Barrett Whitfield and the Savages, Pain from his last album. Carib, a China in Canada, his new proj, kind of a lockdown thing. Brahui Telepathy. And then Poor Luther Bones with Broke Up With Myself Again. Yeah, George Hurley, you know, we'd be on tour, and sometimes he'd wake up all horned up and shit, and he'd go, whoa, backed up into my, almost backed up into myself. Okay, now, we got your early days, Garth. Now, your son's turn here. First, right. Earliest musical recollection, well, your pop's doing music, right?
Yeah, that's too early, I mean... There's a story about my mom coming home sometime. She was, like, out for a run when I was a few weeks old. And my dad had me up against the speaker playing Robert Johnson records.
Well, not a lot of not a lot of Robert Johnson records.
No, I probably heard them all.
I think there's two recording sessions, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like 29 tracks.
Yeah, that's it, right?
But I was hearing that pretty early.
That's amazing stuff. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You know, for your first stuff, it's I get the same reaction when people, hey, what was the first gig you went to? And I tell them T-Rex.
Yeah, right.
Right? It's kind of good thing. Me and Dee Boone saw T-Rex. That was our first gig. We were 14 years old. So Robert Johnson, you know, yeah, that stuff is fucking happening. I heard that he used to turn around when he played for people so they wouldn't copy his hands.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I still don't know how he does that. I've been trying to figure it out my whole
life. Well, he had to be a one-man band, right?
Yeah, he really was.
Yeah. And it's also kind of like Lead Belly, because I think kind of the old idea of blues, it's got to be slow and dragging along, and this stuff's bouncy. And
It was dancing music.
Right. Blues can be anything, right? Just flat the third.
Oh, yeah.
Flat the fifth.
Black the third, black.
Yeah, you don't have to drag Blythe along unless you wanna.
Yeah.
And then you can do that too. Do whatever the fuck you want. You know, it's just, I think it's a lot about feeling. But I was really surprised because I thought, yeah, there was, for example, the House of the Rising Sun, right? The Animals.
Yeah.
The Geordie band, right? From England.
Sure.
And then there's the original, when you hear the, that stuff that, who was that guy? There was a guy who recorded all kinds of original.
Don Lomax.
That's right, Alan Lomax. In fact, Don Fleming worked.
His dad got Lead Belly, but yeah.
Yeah, archive, right? Yeah. And you hear it right on the 12 string with that happy, jumpy thing. It's nothing like the Eric Burdon, which is kind of good, right? Because people should have different versions.
Oh, I think so.
We got enough Xerox machines.
Yeah.
So, okay. What about you in school? Did you have music in school?
Yeah, I played music the whole way. I started taking piano lessons when I was about 5.
Was there a piano in the house?
Around then.
Was there a piano in the house?
Yeah, there was a piano. We got a piano when I started taking lessons and getting into it.
Now, how was that experience? Because we've had people on the show, it almost made them quit music. I think it has a lot to do with the teacher.
We fought like hell about it.
Okay.
I hated to practice. Okay. We used to scream at each other, me and my dad, like Beethoven.
Oh, you mean your pop joined it on too?
Yeah.
Tag team.
Yeah, but, you know, I had a pretty good teacher. She was good. She made me play a lot of classical music and learn to read music, which I didn't appreciate at the time, but I appreciate it now.
Yeah. Same with me with fucking typing. I was like, what's this shit about?
Yeah.
This was like, we're talking the early 70s, right? And then I did like, you never know, huh? My pops always said, have a plan B. And a lot of times the plan B's you never really planned for. But it's like this, you learn in... can you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Ooh. The first record I bought myself. I don't know. We just had so much music in the house. My dad was buying and selling records a lot at that point.
Yeah, but see, the question is, you bought yourself.
That I bought myself. Yeah, I don't... See, it would have been pretty late, because I had so much access to shit.
That's all right.
Maybe a Good Charlotte.
Okay, because that's you, like, spending your own money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's about when I was probably 6 or so.
You know, I'm in a video that those two brothers from Maryland somewhere, and they came to California, and they had me in a video.
Did they?
Yeah, I play like the jury foreman. I mean, not long, okay, just a little bit. I
think
I
say I've seen that.
Guilty or not guilty or so. I can't remember what I said, but yeah.
Yeah,
nice guys.
Cool.
What about the first gig you went and saw?
Oh, I saw Dylan. I saw Bob Dylan on one of his, like, he was doing these tours of, like, AAA baseball stadiums.
Whoa.
And I saw Bob Dylan then when I was probably about 13, 12.
Okay. And were you in any of the school bands, like the marching band or the choir?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in all three, orchestra, band, choir, chorus.
Did you do the same
thing? That's all I wanted to do was music.
Okay. But you were in the marching band, like at the football games and shit?
We didn't have a football team. Our school was too small. But
that's all right.
I was in the marching band for a while.
And what'd you do?
We'd march in parades. And
the instrument. What'd
I do? I did a couple different things. I started on the alto sax. And then I started playing the bells, like the xylophone.
Sure.
In the drum section.
The glockenspiel.
Yeah, the glockenspiel. I like that. Because I was one of the only kids that knew how to play the piano.
It's laid out like a keyboard. Yeah, kind of.
Right. Yeah.
But it's also percussive. It's a bitch an instrument.
Yeah, it's fun.
I asked because, you know, it's kind of different than playing in like a band.
I
mean, like a rock band, yeah, right? It's got to be a portable instrument because you're carrying it around. But you were in the jazz band or classical band or...
Yeah, I was in the jazz band, I played the piano in the jazz band, and then I played a little guitar in the jazz band at one point. And I was playing the sax in the band, and I tried to play the euphonium for a little while. That didn't go too well.
Electric or acoustic guitar?
Electric guitar in the jazz band.
Oh, okay. But comping a lot of chords and stuff, right?
Yeah. It was a lot of just watching the chord charts and kind of playing.
Yeah, yeah. See that?
I was pretty young. I wasn't much of a picker at that point.
it's okay because, you know, in the old days, guitar was always in the rhythm section. So was piano. Mm-hmm. Was with the bass and the drums. Yeah. Because the horns were so fucking loud. We didn't have amplifiers yet, you know? So what about the shit after school with your buddies, like a basement band or garage band or bedroom band?
Yeah, I mean, I started bands before we ever even played together. We, you know, write songs and design record albums and stuff like that when I was in elementary school. And I guess probably when I was about 10, I got together with a buddy and we started playing in the first band. Wow. We'd switch back and forth between drums and guitar.
So you learn drums too. That's great. That's fucking great. Mm-hmm. I think that should be one of the requirements of graduating high school is learning drums.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I think if you can play drums, all the other instruments are doable because it's all about rhythm, right?
Yes. It's hard to get that rhythm if you never played the drums at all.
Yeah, and that's why most musicians are jealous of that. They put them in the fucking back.
Yeah.
That was one mistake the Minutemen did, was put George Hurley. He should have been right up front. I don't know if you've seen me the last 20 years. I always have my drummers up front now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have seen you one time the last 20 years. I remember that. Yeah.
It's ridiculous to have the drummer back. It's almost like you're in denial.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, that was a mistake we made. So, what about your first gig? Did you have a gig? Who was this guy when you were 10?
Oh, this is my buddy Jake.
Yeah, did you and Jake do a gig in front of people?
No, we never went and played. We played a few parties and stuff. We had a bunch of friends, and we'd have bands, and then me and Jake our band would break up, and we were both writing songs, so we'd split up and have competing bands, and then we'd get back together. It was a lot of fun.
You still see him around?
Sometimes, yeah. He used to live out here in Colorado, but he's been back in Pennsylvania, and I was there for about a year not too long ago, and we saw each other every once in a while. Yeah, we're still tight.
And he's still doing music?
Yeah, he's still playing. He's got a band of his own now. They're really good. We played a show together, actually, not too long ago with Poor Luther's Bones.
Pennsylvania's kind of different.
Yeah.
The west side. Yeah, east it side. Is. So also, there's a middle, right? Lancaster.
Yeah, we were outside of Lancaster about an hour.
Okay. Yeah, there's some old towns there. Blue Ball and Intercourse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there used to be a club I remember in Lancaster called Chameleon.
Yeah, that's where I saw you play.
And I played. Okay. I remember playing with Jay Maskus there.
That's the one. Okay. That was my first punk rock show.
I was there.
Wow.
Dad took me. I was like 13, I think.
That whole tour, I never heard one note. Jay was pretty loud.
He's pretty loud.
And it was the first time I played with Pick in 17 years again, too. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 8, 2020. Hold tight for hour two. June 8, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Cognitive personality disorder, MPD, is a mental illness marked by an ongoing pattern of choosing to believe in a reality that the vast majority of humans adhere to strongly in order to fit in, quote, feel normal, end quote, survive, and control those who don't. These symptoms often result in a perception that their own self-promotion, even in the most innocuous ways, will further their homogenized goals of acceptance in a chaotic world.
Like you need a bone inside your head. Shit's whack, man.
Though often unrecognized in professional medical community, NPD has been shown to negatively affect those suffering from serious mental illnesses.
Oh, ghoulish, time to wake up.
Yeah. Can you solve this simple riddle? How many years does it take for a hound dog to sing? None, baby, they just do.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Poor Luther's Bones doing Whack Whack. And you spell it like I do, without the H.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? There was a, believe it or not, you know, there's a street up in Chicago called Whacker. And there was a band called the Whackers.
Yeah.
Like late 60s, early 70s. Yeah, I remember seeing it at Pawn's store, and it had the H in it. It was like, fuck that. And then we had a White Lounge, So Bright, from Few in Tokyo. Senor Al out of South London with Happy Wake Up Morning, baby. Ben Arcata, that's John Dwyer, the OC guy. He's got a brand new band with like 10 people in it. It's called Ben Arcata and The Gate, brand new. And then Sinking Ship from Poor Luther's Bones. Okay, so with Jake and stuff, you guys split up and went, you know, how did Poor Luther's Bones get together? I mean, you join it. Cause your pop had this going, right?
Yeah, he had had the band for years, and then they kind of stopped playing out, and he was working on a record at home, a record called Zoetrope. And he was doing everything. He had been working on it for years. We got set up to record
Zoetrope?
At home.
Did you say Zoetrope? The Wind Blew.
Yeah. Yeah, Zoetrope. That's the name of the record.
That was the name of the studio, right? That, what's his name? Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the name of his film studio. That's
and
right.
Before that, well, I think he had to sell all that shit. And before that, I think it was Charlie Chaplin's studio.
Oh, really?
Something like that. Some shit. I can't remember exactly, but just that word made me think. So, okay, album was going to be called Zoetrope. Like, the project was going to be called Zoetrope.
Yeah, so my dad's working on this new record, Poor Luther's Bones, Zoetrope, out in the, what we called the booby hatch, which was our, it was an old goat shed in the backyard where we made records.
Okay.
And I'm about 13 years old at this point. And he wants me to play piano on it to begin with. And I've got a band that's practicing just about every day. It's the summertime before I go into high school. And so I'm practicing with my band, and then I'm playing the piano on these tracks. And then we go in and fill everything out, and that's when we first started recording together as a band. And between me and my dad, we played all the music on that, just overdubbing stuff.
How did you get
and
the piano?
And then we went and played some shows.
How did you get the piano and the goat shit?
Well, we had that in the house. We'd bring our recording stuff up in the house, and then everything else was in the goat shed. Bass, guitars, synthesizers, and stuff.
And I'm curious, since it was just you two making the record, what would be the first thing that you would do for each tune?
I would lay down the acoustic first.
It'd be acoustic guitar, Garth?
Yeah.
Because
Not easy to get the timing right.
That's what I was going to say, because a lot of, like I heard when Stevie Wonder did his one-man band records, you know, like Intervision and shit, he always started with the drums.
Right.
Then when Dave Grohl made his first Foo Fighter record, he told me he started with the drum.
Yeah.
But you guys started with acoustic.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we laid down the piano. And then my dad went and laid down all the drums. He overdubbed them on there.
Now, was that tough to play the drums to the piano and guitar?
It's pretty tough when you can't play worth a shit.
No, even if you can't play worth a shit, it's pretty tough.
It's still a little tough.
You know, I got a drum set in my practice pad because I was tired of motherfuckers setting up and tearing down. But I should learn it.
Yeah.
I want to play something here. Girl with no phone.
I was late to the party, and it fizzled that I felt out of place. He settled out, this idiot's on the couch, and she stepped off into space. Someone about to flip the picture, I looked up and she was gone. Down. As a girl with no love, made it home. My mother
walking through the valley, my past is here, forcing a feeling, words help steer, as the gray is rising like smoke from coal, my palms find each other, I've lost my control.
You didn't think I'd leave you with that, did you? Well, I'm gonna raise a fuss, I'm gonna raise a holler. Gotta work it all summer just to try to earn a dollar. Well, I try to call my baby, I try to call a date. Ah, no dice, son, you gotta work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do. Now there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. No, baby. No, baby.
Thank you. Life is like a bowl of cherries. Life is like a dream. We'll be right back.
birds and shadowed, enslaved by the sun. Rancid music falling away, quietly splashing like mercurous droplets against white paper. The ability, able, to create in one.
On the rip, like paint on the flip drip, strung on canvases, fast, 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 patterns that stick and celebrate the senses. You dream of Picasso, Blue Angels, and Oblong Wings. Here through the veil of time, on the other side, you will find all is revealed as it is. Infinite. When you're killing it on the rip. Killing it on the rip. Awaken, flamboyance, elegance, instinctual bliss. Let the chemistry fly, gotta lose your mind to find it. Vision's immense, no experience, no requirements, no test. You analyze what's to be, killing it on the rip. It ain't about he, she, that, there's an it. If it's love you transmit. Killing it on the rip. Killing it on the rip.
Show, yeah, Girl with No Phone from Poor Luther's Bones. Then The Business of Leaves and Streams from Bradford Reed. Nicholas Bear's Neon Figures. Peter Lochner, Summertime Blues. This is actually the last record he made. He never woke up. He went to sleep after recording this and never woke up. Like in early 20s. Very sad, yeah. Try Pa Jimmy after that. Bowl of Cherries, Tom Herman. I got a project going with him called Ship to Shore. Baby Drools Diamonds with Piana. Chris Burns out of Canada. Or Extract with Dignity and Death. And finally, Poor Luther's Bones with Killing It on the R.I.P. Or on the Rip. What is it?
Either one.
Is it the Rip Saw?
It's the Rip.
Yeah, because people, there's different kinds of wood saws, but you can play them like musical instruments.
Oh, yeah. We'll tell him about playing the flute.
Oh, yeah, we used to have a saw player. That was fun.
Yeah?
He played real nice.
And that's all he played. He was in Dublin. That was his main job.
It would be him and me, and we would just go out and play that. Yep.
Oh, wow. Hey,
yeah.
You know, making this album in the goat shed, what was the process? Like, did you make demos? Would you have a cassette version or something? Or did you just start strumming on the guitar or what?
No, almost all the songs were real well thought out and fully written before we started recording them for the most part. So we would have demos, we'd have cassette tapes, and we'd spend hours just me and my dad. He'd show me how to play the guitar parts first, and then figure out, you know, the chords and everything.
Who ended up on the bass?
That's Leo Scott. He's been with me from the very beginning. He's playing with Brother JT right now.
Yeah.
He's a real good one here. Yeah. Great fella.
So he's the one consistent guy going all the way back, Garth.
That's right.
Wow.
Leo Scott.
Now, how'd you meet him?
Met him through that fella, Dave. I was mentioning he was a friend of his. And
the same guys that showed you guitar and stuff.
What's that?
The same guys who showed you guitar and stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
And how did you bump into them dudes?
There was a small college town about 20 minutes outside of where we lived called Kutztown.
Okay.
And that was the kind of the meeting point of everybody. And back in the 90, 91, 92, it was a pretty vibrant music scene there for a small town. A lot of bands.
Okay. So was the bass kind of the last thing added on? Or what?
Where was it all started at once, just banging around. And
there's different process. For the Zoetrope record, I played the bass, and that was added on pretty late.
Okay. And this is the one, like your pop, it was a one-man dealio, right?
The two of us, yeah.
Right,
but
right.
Usually, I mean, Leo, when we were playing with the band, we'd record live pretty much.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay, so a few different kinds of incarnations. But always in the, what's it called, the Boogaloo? Not Boogaloo. What's the goat shed called?
The Booby Hatch.
Booby Hatch. Right.
Yeah.
Booby Hatch. Boobies, there's birds, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean. Out at sea.
That's right. And
a booby hatch was like a hatch where you go down under the ship, you know, and the boobies would land on it.
No, I thought it was more like if you went in front of the king and the king didn't like your performance, he'd hit the hatch and you'd go sliding down to the tigers and stuff.
Yeah, the booby hatch.
Yeah, that's why I guess it was like kind of a thumbs down, right? You didn't dig it.
Right, exactly, for the jester.
Do you ever do gigs with people throwing shit at you?
I've got paid in beer to quit playing.
Okay, because I've done many gigs with shit thrown at me. I mean, literal shit, like shit in sacks, and puke in sacks, cups of piss. The funniest, though, was used condoms.
And
the most painful was fucking batteries. Fuck batteries.
Oh, shit. Batteries.
I've heard some of those stories.
And you know, some of this shit, you know, some of this was opening for Black Flag. And I mean, they got a lot of shit thrown at them, too. But some of this shit was even in the 90s, like opening for Primus.
Really?
Yeah, some, you know, high-quality things never change.
Yeah.
Closed-minded motherfuckers. You know, why would we be on the gig, you know, if the headlining act didn't ask you aboard, you know, these motherfuckers. And then they'd come play with you and they'd be all these guys looking at you like, you know, it would be so bizarre. But, you know, I don't usually ask people that because, yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, I think. But, I mean, if, maybe in a way it's like, well, I must be doing something right to piss all these fucking people off.
Yeah, we've cleared some rooms.
Okay, right? Yeah. Billy calls those hall rakers, the Descendants guy.
Yeah.
We're at the end of that second hour, June 8, 2020, this Swap Peter Show. Hold tight. Hour two. No, hour three. June 8, 2020, it's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
When I look back and see how we all spun out of our minds, yours within reason, I could tell the call of something more. Maybe God, you saw.
This is
Off of Pedro Show. We start off the third hour with poor Luther's Bones doing Bed of Moss. And Crane with Age of Uncertainty. Living More with Real and Mean It. Dream Phases. Bird of Prey. A lot of Nomad EO records stuff here. Paul Jacobs with Expensive. Atlantis Aquarius with The Fields. And finally, I'm Not a Braggart. And that's said with all humility, people. Poor Luther's Bones. So look, you guys are on a journey right now.
We are.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, you're on tour. Now, is there a music component of this trip, part of this trip?
Not really. We're just trying to keep our cars organized and not lose everything and be able to find it in the morning.
Okay. But, like, there's no songwriting going on? There's no, like, prac?
Not yet, no. I've been writing some songs a little bit, but that's separate from Poor Luther's Bones, I guess. Yeah, we brought some guitars.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you bring any instruments and stuff?
Yeah, we got our acoustic guitars.
I got to tell you, in my case, when I'm on tour, I never can write songs. It seems tour takes up your whole fucking life.
Yeah.
Then I know other dudes that don't write whole albums on tour.
Right.
But those are usually the dudes with the assistant hair techs. This last tour I did, 13,380 miles, I had to drive every one. And you know, this was September, November, and I'm no fucking ESP Sixth Sense guy, but I didn't want to get sick that tour, so I didn't shake hands. I didn't get fucking, you know, I just gave an elbow or a knuckle. I didn't get sick, and then I got home and all this shit started, this COVID-19.
Man, you made a right call there.
Well, it's totally luck. But also, if you call a tour more than a month, it was my 67th one. Like I said, I was just tired of getting fucking sick. It was 45 gigs in a row, and I didn't get sick. I came home, did a gig up in K-Town, off tour. My guard was down. Somebody shook my hand. Fuck if I didn't get sick 3 days later.
Really?
And it might have been this shit, because it was in the beginning of December, and it was in my lung, and I beat it off. What a way to put it, Watt. But
yeah.
I wonder. I don't think this shit got here in February. I think it was here before, just floating around.
Right.
We just got to be a little safer. So how long is this going to be?
Well, kind of indefinite. You know, I've been traveling around a lot for the last 6 or 7 years. And, I like just traveling around the country and staying in my car.
You know who wrote a lot of songs on the road was Woody Guthrie.
Oh, yeah.
And he traveled around a lot.
Yeah, this is my first time ever going to Oklahoma.
Okay, and that's where he's from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, you'll see trees ripped up. It's kind of a Tornado Alley thing, but
yeah, it's
an interesting place. And the clay's really red. A lot of native people.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of native people live there. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. The Flaming Lips, right? Wayne Coyne.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. It's a great place. And it's kind of convenient, I-35, you know, there's the Panhandle in Texas, and then you can go straight north, and there's Minnesota, you know, and, well, Iowa's in between there, but, I mean, there's gigs. It's funny how tour teaches you this stuff. So, do you have mobile recording
gear? Do we have what now?
Mobile record. Can you make recordings on the road?
Oh, pretty much just on the phone. Use that voice recorder. It works pretty good.
Dude, I had a guy from Tel Aviv on the show. He made a whole album on a fucking leash.
Yeah, I believe it.
There's GarageBand came on it, and he made the whole album.
I believe it. You can do it these days.
And it's got the virtual instruments, and, you know. Mm-hmm. Here, I want to play Last Ego Sapien. Great time.
Just a brief time. They made signals in Radio Corleone。やばい時代にいるのかも。全然気にしてないけど。やばいことになってるかも。もう終わっちまうよな。やつらがやりたい放題。全然気にしてないけど。やばいことになってくるの。許されるわけない。ママなんかは助けちゃくれない。俺は全然気にしてないけど。このまま全てが片付けたもんね。
The glittering awards. Well, seems this battery is going dead. It went dead. Oh no! What am I gonna do with a dead battery? Oh no! Oh no! I'm gonna have to get a tuner and tune my guitar and fucking ask for more shit in the monitor and get all scared and all fucked up and tell everyone I'm anxious as fuck. Oh no! Oh no! Mr. Bell.
Interference with the loose change transferal at the heart of yet another meditation on failed relationships. On failed relationships, another heartfelt meditation on failed relationships. Who the hell knows? Who the fuck knows, man?
Thank you.
All I know is I'm going shopping. I'm going to go shopping. Yeah, shopping. When the big, stupid game is on TV.
The devil was working overtime in the Greyhound bus terminal. But if the robot I'm building works, there's an outlet down at the bus terminal, and I'll plug it in there and demonstrate it for you. You could bring a movie camera and take pictures of it. I'll have the robot done by the middle of March or the middle of April. Breakdown and ends up in the hospital by getting off dope, you know, tranquilizers, by getting a lot of natural sleep and eating pretty good, more of his natural abilities will return. And by educating, he can develop his skills as much as his or her brain will allow. I've been nervous-minded since I was 15 years old. I'm at least 85% sane now. But when the insanity gets to be too much inside of me, you know what I do? I scribble on a piece of paper. I like to go to bed early to get a lot of sleep and keep the wolf at bay.
The nemesis is penalizing too. Shatters, battered, scatters with vices. So you can worship yourself with worthless and meaningless devices. Oblivious to the hell you're in, in whose eyes do you gaze? Which will rule your desires? The mesmerizer. Enticed like mice by cheese, by the foulest sickness of your kind? Or are you sublime, exploring your senses and differences? The eye of the beholder will tell. Is it the unseen connections or a slithering, venomous snake that sows suspicion? Expunging the sun, vanishing into black. Like a catch, the last thing you hear is a laugh. Be among those profiteers, a baby pacifier in your palm, beaten to submission as you happily succumb. The mesmerizer sits back and guffaws. It's up to you to decide. Divine illumination, healing vibrations, delicate and refined. On what do you fantasize? The
Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Last Ego Sapien from Poor Luther's Bones, Zola Jesus after that with Exhumed, Lewis Cole, Grains of Sand, King Brothers, No No No, X Gold, People Talking, Omfu, this old man, fuck you, Steve Gate, Gigante out of Knoxville, he was in Deerhoof for a while, and when the big stupid game is on TV, go Vols. Okay. David Greenberger and Prime Lens, he's out of Chattanooga with Devil and the Greyhound. And finally, The Mesmerizer, Poor Luther Bones. So, what about recording-wise? It'll come when it comes, right?
Yeah, you got to work at it.
Yeah. But do you have a plan? Like this trip right here that you're doing, even though it's indefinite stuff, do you think it's going to add up to a documentation? Somehow music?
I don't think so. I don't know anymore, man. It's weird times for putting stuff out. I don't know. I had a couple things I was working on. I kind of dropped them. Just got out of there.
Yeah, you know, in the old days, Minuteman, we thought records were only flyers to get people to gigs.
Right.
Another way, when I got less younger, they're kind of like tombstones. Because when you're gone, they're still here.
Right. Yeah. Right.
When I was more younger, it was more temporary, you know, because we're living more in the moment. And it seemed like the gig was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was because we were coming from arena rock and the club scene just blew our minds, man.
Gotcha.
The idea where I could see why it was bass, why it actually had bigger strings. I couldn't see that 10,000 miles away at the T-Rex gig.
Right.
But the idea of recording, especially when I lost D. Boone, this is the only way I get to hear him.
Yeah.
So it gave me another thing. That's why I said document. There works, too. I think, in a way. They're trippy. They're trippy, the whole thing. I'm curious, though. This thing that you guys flowed me, man, I really dug all this, these poor Luther Bones. And so I'm curious about future. Those things that you dropped, Garth, were those poor Luther Bone projects or other ones?
There were solo stuff I was doing, and I'll get back to him.
And then your son, he's got his own side project going, right?
Yeah, I write country songs mostly.
That's okay.
For me, music is music, you know?
It's hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard concept, that fucking genre thing for me, because it seemed to be like chains on me when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
More younger.
Yeah, I just kind of call whatever I make country music because I'm from the country.
Okay.
Well, that's good enough for me.
It seems music's about notes and rhythm and maybe some words. How important is the title?
It's part of it.
Hey, you got to have a good time.
I ask you guys that because that's how I start.
With the title.
Because that's
right.
It's going to help me.
Then you fill it out from there.
Right. Focus, right? You drop anchor, huh? You drop anchor, and then you put out the net. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so.
That's true.
Everybody else I know, they put them on last. But then, you know, same thing with bass, you know? And I've been using bass as a composition tool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and not reggae or, you know, but just for whatever, because it gives the other cats a lot of room, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't voice out the, especially the harmonic content so much. I really think you got to just think, how much different, too bad I don't have some of your music. How much different is it than the poor Luther Bones?
It's pretty different. It's just like, I pretty much write songs just to write them. I like the idea of having other people play them.
I
just like the exercise of writing.
Like an actor versus script writer.
Right. Yeah, kind of like these old, like Willie Nelson and people like that used to do, write songs and then other people would make hits out of them.
I think
like the Brill Building guys or something.
I was just going to say that, Lou Reed.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually the Dan, right? The Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, I think, started that way.
Okay, yeah.
That tradition kind of got lost, huh?
Yeah, I kind of think it did. Well, I mean, there's not a lot of it, but that's kind of just what I like to do. I don't record a whole lot or play out much. I play the banjo on the street sometimes to make a little money.
Busking. Yeah.
I go around doing a lot of this Sacred Harp singing stuff is my big thing.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a religious type of a cappella singing that's real popular in the Southeast. I spend a lot of time chasing that around. That's more of my touring. Has been going around the country doing that.
That is beautiful. I think you guys are balls out for being who you are. And a lot of respect from Watt for you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, truly. And big love. When you guys do get a new thing together recording, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Sure will.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hey, man. We appreciate you having us.
And keep on keeping on. Keep that keel in the water, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I turned turtle. People, it's been the 8/23 edition of Walker Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.